This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
If you're in the e-commerce business, you'd know how time-consuming it can be packing orders and dealing with logistic companies. Not to mention costly too. And this is where warehousing and fulfillment company Store & Send aim to ease your burden and save you not only time, but your hard-earned money. From inventory management to order fulfillment, storage and dealing with logistic partners, Store & Send has your B2B and B2C needs covered. And the best part is, they're halal certified. Joining us in Open for Business today, we have founder and CEO of Store & Send, Max Choi, to talk to us about his Certu certified warehousing and fulfillment hub.
My name is Max. I'm the CEO as well as the founder of Store & Send. My background, I'm a chartered accountant and I've been serving Deloitte for 5 years before starting my own company.
So right off the bat, Max, let me just ask you, why halal? Why get a halal certified warehouse and fulfillment company for the e-commerce sector going? Why do you need to be halal?
Okay, the main reason why we want to go halal, firstly, it is not so much about the religious issue, but if we look at halal in depth, it's actually about safety and cleanliness, which is something that we should be emphasizing for a warehousing equipment environment, as well as to provide a better environment for my staff whenever they do picking and packing and order fulfillment. Likewise, for my customers to have better confidence. And another more important factor is the halal market is growing, but the thing is the awareness is not there. We have a lot of good halal products locally, but it is not being spread. It is not being educated to the people around the world. So that's why we've an aim to actually have halal fulfillment hub. And also, I understand that in the halal teaching, it's always about halalan toyiban, meaning to say from the point of manufacturing all the way to handing it over to the customer, it has to be everything handled in the halal manner. So that's why we've an aim to go alongside with halalan toyiban. I hope to start off with the halal fulfillment hub.
So was that difficult to obtain the halal certification? Because like you said, you know, from the first touch point to the final touch point, everything needs to be done in a certain way in order to get the certification. So was that process difficult?
Yes, to be honest, what I understand is most of the sellers, they don't really have a halal certified process per se. The chain would break whenever it's sent using PostLaju, DHL, or any other third-party logistics company, because none of them have a halal cert, except for a freight forwarding company like Nippon. So they are very famous for halal. But the thing is, having a halal fulfillment hub, it gives better confidence in the sellers as well. At least they know that when they store the goods in the warehouse, it is not being placed with something that is unhygienic.
So Max, is Store & Send the only warehousing and fulfillment company with Certu certification?
For fulfillment hub, yes, I would say so. For warehouse, I believe there are other players, but that is because they are manufacturing halal products and they need to have a Certu certified warehouse.
Why aren't more fulfillment companies getting themselves that Certu certification?
First of all, I believe it would be coming from a cost perspective and also to cater to a bigger market from their point of view. But to us, we actually enjoy this certificate. It is not so much about just differentiating ourselves from the rest of the people, but it's like you have to make sure that from time to time you are following all the requirements that is being set up front because they would actually carry out audits and all. So in order to culture such a working environment, my staff, they are so used to it already. And if I just say, no, we are not certified anymore, of course, I believe they will just have more relaxation, but I believe they prefer it them to be more disciplined.
So you just mentioned that cost is one element in getting that CERCHI certification, but there's also the issue of maintaining the halal certification.
Yes, yes. So we would say every year, we have to perform another round of cleansing and also certification. And during the year, sometime they will just come and audit without letting you know. Definitely.
Spot check.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the main purpose of it, actually.
So who would you say are your main customers?
My main customers would be one dealing in fashion. So they have 12 retail outlets across the malls in Malaysia, and we are handling the e-commerce warehouse for that. And I'm getting into a contract with Suzy Honey, which is a local herbs company. The founder loves to go into the jungle and explore and use really natural products to come up with body wash and body care products. So this is also one of the reasons why she got attracted, because not only I have slightly better facility per se with the halal fulfillment hub, but I also charge lower than the market.
So being halal certified, what would you say is the size of the market that you are serving? Because I can understand like the logistics market is huge, especially with the boom in e-commerce and such. But what would you say is your slice of the pie?
Getting into halal fulfillment hub, it would not complete the whole picture unless we have a very strong logistics partner that can ensure the Halalan Toyiban that I mentioned earlier. And what I understand, 3 years back, I used to have a conversation with this halal perfume manufacturer based in Malacca. So he was encouraging me, and he's the man behind the scene why he gave me the idea of having a halal fulfillment hub. Because the demand is so high, especially in China. China has one of the amongst the races and types of ethnics in China, Muslims are the biggest population out of it. And with Indonesia booming and also UAE, I believe the market is huge. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So you don't feel like you are serving a niche market in being halal certified?
No, it wouldn't be a niche market at all. I have attended one exhibition recently, and I bumped into the speaker, the founder of Tanah Merah, and he was just mentioning about how well our Jakim is, and also most importantly is the Japanese loves it. And the reason why they love it is, again, back to square one. Like, it's about cleanliness, it's about safety. And Japanese, they, in 5 years' time, based on our anticipation, Japan will be the next biggest halal hub.
So is the halal certification the only thing that differentiates Store and Send from other logistics providers?
We wouldn't say that is the only one, because when we do fulfillment, what we do is also we understand what the market needs and how to help the sellers better. Because coming from a background that I used to be a seller, and that's how I got into this business, because I've been spending too much time doing picking, packing, inventory management, inventory counting, that I have lost focus and I couldn't focus on marketing my goods. And that's why I got into this business, because I think that this is something like a non-core activity that a business owner should not be focusing on, because they shouldn't be spending overqualified time handling this kind of issues. But they should be focused on marketing. And the reason why we came from that background, we understand some policies, like the policies that are being set by Lazada, which is the return policy. So for instance, if today I've bought 2 units of item from your store, I could just easily take away 1 unit. I just take my smartphone, take a picture, lodge a report against Lazada, and there goes the case. The seller would not be able to defend it. Mm. And what is unique from our warehouse is the whole pick and pack process is fully recorded. So this way, we are not only securing ourselves, but also securing the sellers from having to be filed against all these kind of disputes. So we have saved our sellers from, I think, more than 20 disputes across Zalora and Lazada.
What kind of tech are you using behind the scenes at Store & Send?
I have my own developed e-warehousing management system, which has API integration with most of the marketplaces and also web stores. And something unique is also I pair the CCTV together with the pick and pack process. So it doesn't take too much of a time for us to just dig back the video and just send that part to the customers.
And what is the traffic like at Store & Send? You know, how many packages do you receive? Do you have any data on things like that, like per month or annually?
Per day, we are looking at traffic of close to 300 parcels per day. But we have handled even higher traffics, like when they have e-commerce sales, like 11/11/99. Mm. So those were the days that we were handling more than 1,000 parcels per day. And that doesn't seem to be a problem because we understand that when our workers get tired, we tend to pack wrongly. And that's why our shelves, our item, everything is barcoded. And they just have to follow the location and the item. And it would again be double-checked before entering into the parcels.
So what is your staff strength like? And how big is the warehouse at Store & Send?
We have about 12,000 square feet. And the staff strength is actually, we hire only local staff. We do not emphasize on having foreign workers. We believe in empowering B40. We believe in helping the people that is in need. And to me, one of the main reasons why they are willing to stay on and do OT as and when required is because I don't have any hierarchical level when it comes to working with them. And they can just tease us when as and when they like. And some buy the idea, but some doesn't. But to me, I just want to ensure that they are working happily.
It's time for a break, but when we come back, Max talks to us about funding, business optimization, and automation and robotics in the fulfillment space. Open for Business, we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business. I'm Audrey Raj. Max Chui, founder and CEO of Store & Send, is with me today. Store & Send, of course, is a halal-compliant warehouse and fulfillment hub that specializes in e-commerce business needs. Max, why start a warehousing and fulfillment company for the e-commerce sector? You said your background is in accountancy,
right?
And you were also a seller at some point. So, you know, tell us a bit about this story and how Store & Send started.
Okay, well, I was really much inspired by my director back in Deloitte to the extent that I thought I was going to sell myself to Deloitte. But I was in the tax division, but with the implementation of GST and a lot of new regulations, it was pretty sad to say that 2 months before my wedding, the director that has been inspiring me all this while, he got a heart attack and he passed away.
Ooh.
So that really hit me hard. And it gave me the motivation to come out to do a business with my friend. And that friend was actually looking at Lego. And I did some research, and Lego, previously they have some Lego investing course in UK. So I thought, well, why not? Probably this could be my cash cow. And I analyzed the consumer behavior, like how they would like the Lego to be packed and how would they purchase the Lego. So 3 years back then, people would still prefer to go offline. And that's why I set up my first retail shop. But with the fake products called Le Pin coming from China with just a fraction of the price, market was hit really badly. And that's when we ventured into Lazada and Shopee. And sales were pretty okay. But something that we have omitted is the packaging.
Mm.
We did not pack the Legos properly. So our rating was really bad. And when we tried to do promotion and all, so often the case, we sold something that we do not have stock anymore. And that has been a hard time for my partner and I. And that's why we sought out how to get into this fulfillment business and would there be a demand in the market. And I heard about this competitor of mine that they are serving big brands like FMCG brands. And that has actually gotten my attention because I believe, service provider coming from Deloitte. I've always been in the service line, and I think service line could be something that I'm more fond of.
Okay, and what would you say are the main issues you need to think about when starting a logistics business?
Definitely the tech part. Neither my partner nor I was from the tech background. I was from the accounting background. He's from the business background. So when we started off, we were just leveraging on whatever was made available for free. So we used Google Sheet, we used Excel to import and export the data just to make sure that we are not doing anything wrong. But as and when the orders are piling up, we know that we cannot do this anymore. And that's when we ventured into IT, which is the core of our business right now. It took us about a year to build the whole system, not including the time where the API integration take place. So that was the toughest part, because we were just solely waiting, and we have to convince our clients that, yes, we are upgrading, bear with us. And to bear, of course, any penalty that we have done wrongly. So So those are the losses that we have to bear.
So every warehousing company that I've interviewed on Open for Business has told me nightmare stories about losing packages or having, you know, just big shipments go missing. Has any of that happened to you?
Yes, but not in our warehouse. It's when it's out from our warehouse, so the parcels go missing. So what we do is we try to be the mediator between the 3PL, the third-party logistics, and the customer, our customers. So what we do is we will first compensate our customers, and then we will file for a loss with the 3PL, which is going to take about 3 months to half a year. So that is what we try to, that's like the additional service that we're trying to provide to our customers. Yeah.
So these packages and these shipments going MIA, would you say that would be the main challenge in running a warehousing and fulfillment company?
It's quite hard to say, because if you come from the logistics perspective, I would say to average out the parcel cost and also to arrive at the destination and providing state-of-art services, we have changed close to three or four different logistics partners, because we want to ensure that the services given to our client is the best. And we do not want to engage a company whereby they promise us T+2, but it took them more than a week to deliver. Of late, I think 1 week back, I was just reading this post by Soya Chin Chow. They did a research, and Malaysia was actually, despite the greatest growth in e-commerce, the delivery time is the longest in Southeast Asia. So that is something that is pretty disappointing. And that is something that a lot of e-commerce sellers have to understand as well. So that's why that creates the awareness and the need for fulfillment.
So how do you see the logistics sector growing in the near future? Because, you know, we were talking about the e-commerce boom over the last few years. You've got your single sale, you've got your 7-7 sales, right. You've got your 9-9 sales. So how do you see yourself coping with this growth as well as with competition?
Right. I would say the pie is rather big, so competition wouldn't be too much of an issue, but it is just reaching out to the clients and creating awareness to them. Why would I say so? It's because I've studied a lot of different models, like Cainiao, which is by Alibaba, and also I've met the senior VP of JD.com when they visited Malaysia. And we were bouncing off ideas, and he was telling me that his biggest problem was actually staff retention. But to us, it's actually on a timely basis, getting everything accurately done and then delivered out. So one of the things that I believe is a collaboration between Fulfillment Hub and the logistics partner would be, let the Fulfillment Hub handle the sorting. So when the logistics partner come over, they could just pick and deliver. So it saves another trip. So probably it would save 24 hours of the lead time. Which would improve on that end, and the cost would be borne by Fulfillment Hub. But it's just how open is the mindset of the logistics company and, of course, the Fulfillment Hubs to work together, to collaborate, instead of viewing each other like competition, because I understand the bigger logistic parties, they also have their own fulfillment. To me, if we could provide these services, the one that is winning, the one that is the happiest would be the customers. And at the end of the day, in business, it's always about having a happy customer. So I think that is something that we should look forward to.
And any advice to e-commerce sellers in terms of packaging and dealing with their logistics partner or customers?
Right. There is something called, like for some of the 3PL, what they will do is they have additional copies to be passed on to the dispatch person, and again, it will be passed on to the next person. But that doesn't safeguard you, like the example that I was explaining earlier, because we tried going through the way of explaining the weight of the parcel. Say one item is 200 grams, and if I have two items inside, it should be 400 grams. So from the airway bill itself, it should explain 400 grams, but it is how the marketplace print this weight onto the airway bill. From my observation, 50% of them, they don't really print it on.
Mm.
So this makes it hard for them to prove that I have actually sent two items. So the safest way would, of course, and also the easier way would be just have a very, very low-cost camcorder or even just a GoPro. Just hang it somewhere on top of where you're packing. Video record your airway bill. Video record the products before putting into the parcel. Put everything in, seal it, and that's it. So this small video and small gesture itself would actually save them from dealing with a lot of unnecessary disputes and then getting them bad mood and hoping to, they would always be whining and saying that, oh, I shouldn't be selling on Lazada, I shouldn't be selling on Shopee. But no, Lazada has a policy for a reason. They want to safeguard the customers. And sellers on our side, we have to safeguard ourselves as well. So whether or not they use the fulfillment services, they can do that. It is not something, it's not a rocket science.
So, you know, you were mentioning earlier about tech and we were talking about the growth of the logistics sector.
Right.
Automation and robotics. I know you are very fond of your staff, like you were speaking of them earlier. But, you know, this is going to be the future of the warehousing industry and the fulfillment industry as well. What are your thoughts on this?
Right. To be honest, if sorting is one of the tech that we have to bring in, yes. Sorting is definitely needed. But if you talk about automation in terms of picking and packing and also order fulfillment, I would say Malaysia is not ready for that yet, because the appetite of people purchasing from online, it is still not at its peak yet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though if it is at its peak, with the population of Malaysia all in, including East Malaysia and West Malaysia, it is just equivalent to a city called Beijing or a city called Shanghai.
Right.
So it's going to take a long year for you to have to get the ROI. So I don't think it is worth it to invest in that right now.
So Max, we invited Store and Send for an interview earlier this year, but you guys requested for a rain check because you were exploring equity crowdfunding and wanted to focus on that. Any developments on the funding front?
Right. So I have to admit, at one point when I was introduced about the equity crowdfunding and also getting grants from the government, I was brought all the way to Cloud9. To me, it seems like music to my ears, because I've always looking for expansion and always hoping to get better facilities, either for my staff to work on or for my customers to enjoy. But I've met this business coach whereby I initially wanted to appoint him to help me out with the equity crowdfunding. He was nice enough. He came and reviewed the whole business model. And he told me, he said, Max, don't worry about it now. I believe what you should be focusing on is business optimization. The reason being, he said there is still room for improvement. You need to learn how to squeeze in every small cubic into your warehouse and fully, like, really maximize whatever you can do first before thinking about expansion. Because the last thing that we want is getting the fund in but not utilizing it well. I understand that in the market nowadays, when we just Google like pitch deck, easily you can find tens over pages, people teaching you how to do pitch deck. They even have all the demographics ready for you just to plug and put it in.
Mm.
But the thing is, these numbers may not be accurate if you do not understand your business well. If you do not optimize your business well, you are just like someone that doesn't know how to plan your finances, and suddenly you just strike a million. And this million will just go down in no time. And the next thing that you need is to ask for another ECF. So by the time, your investors will not have confidence in you anymore. So why not learn how to manage it and to fully maximize every dollars and cents and show that this number makes sense and it is achievable.
And how long do you foresee the operational optimization for store and send going on for before you start considering ECF again?
Right. I was actually quite lucky to meet up with another business partner of mine. He has a 30,000 square feet of warehouse, whereby he focused mainly on B2B fulfillment. He is actually the main fulfillment partner for Aeon. So he has complete fleet, he has complete facilities, but he doesn't do that much of B2C, which is what I'm good at. So that's why we are working on an agreement together, whereby he's allowing me to use up some of the space as a start, to let my business grow. And when the orders are getting bigger, then I can work on an ECF to get a factory on my own to do the fulfillment. So this saves a lot of cost for myself. I don't have to fork out like a 2+1 rental deposit. And just considering that part itself gives a big smile to my face. And that's also the reason why I'm putting ECF on hold. But even with a 30,000 square feet warehouse, I'm foreseeing it will not take me more than 2 years to reach the maximum capacity.
All right. And just before we go, Max, what's the next phase of development for Store and Send?
Right. This is something that is very challenging and something that we have always been looking forward. Like I mentioned earlier, it would be again back to Halalan Toyiban. So let's just take food delivery service, for instance. GrabFood nowadays, they only have, in their page, they are the ones that have separated into halal food and non-halal food. But that doesn't mean that they have a halal career. So we would aim to work with one of the readily available logistics partner right here. But what we will do is we will make sure that this delivery arm is fully halal. So it will not be dealing much in food. We will be doing mainly on products and services, serving Klang Valley. And as the fleet size grow and as the order size grow, definitely we'll be moving to the whole of Malaysia.
I've been speaking with Max Chui, founder and CEO of Store and Send. Now, for more information on their services and facility, go check out their website, storeandsend.com.my. That's storeandsend.com.my. And if you miss any part of this show, the podcast will be available on our website, the BFM app, and on Spotify within the hour. Just look for Open for Business or Store and Send. And on behalf of Max Chui and myself, Audrey Raj, thank you for listening to Open for Business. Up next, after the 11 a.m. news, it's Her Vantage with Frida Liu. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.